Well, you know, it's
soft mats, though, we said.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to get killed for that. What's it called?
Coffee. Let's see. We start the Seder with coffee.
Right. No.
Bring out the soft mats.
After, what do you call it? When you start Magid, that's when you bring out the coffee. It's the best time to bring it out.
Oh, after the Karpas.
Yeah, after Karpas. I get everything done, and then when it's time for...
We have a big Karpas.
Yeah, because I'll tell you why. It's simple. It's simple. For those who are coffee drinkers. Okay, so I've basically not eaten most of the day, right? And I have like a... I have an exact 6-ounce cup, okay, that I use for Pesach. Because 6 ounces, according to every shita, is Revius. You can really be meikel and use a 3-ounce cup. Whatever. 6 ounces, everyone, your yotze, right? So, and you're supposed to drink Rov Kos. Now, drinking a Rov Kos of a dry red wine, which I use like a very good wine, hits you hard, you know, like for me. And I handle alcohol pretty well, but I'm like a little, you know. So having a cup of coffee is perfect. It, like, you have your energy, you can get into the magi and really, you know, enjoy it, etc. I don't. People think I'm crazy for that, but I don't.
It was a great idea.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You're the Karpas bar, though, right?
We're the Karpas.
I told my wife that we're doing that this year. That thing's awesome.
We don't need to eat anymore.
Right.
What do you do?
We go by the Vilna Gaon Shita that you eat more than a kazayin, and we have a Karpas salad bar. We have a very big.
That's so cool.
And we add, you know, for the kids, French fries and all kinds of everything you can imagine.
It's amazing.
Anything up to a huge salad.
It doesn't have.
And everyone's fine. No one is saying, when are we going to eat?
No. So there's a big machlokus about whether kazayin. Or not. No, you can have kazayas some more.
We still don't make the bracha achrona. That's like the back.
So I have a shiur on that.
I have a shiur on that.
There's a famous bach on how to get out of it. It's so good also because it's shela sabain. You know, part of the karpas is your kids are supposed to ask questions. But today, one of the most unfortunate consequences of Jewish education today is that kids know too much about the Seder going into it. What's supposed to happen is they come in and be like, wow, this is so odd. So if you have a salad bar, I mean, I assume you don't usually have a salad bar when people come over, right? So to have a salad bar set up at the Seder, kids are going to be like, wow, that's interesting. We don't usually have a salad bar during the year.
But like she said, we miss those only have a kazayis.
No, you can have kazayis or more. You're not limited to kazayis. Sure. You're not supposed to fill. You don't want to fill up because you have your matzo tayyav.
No, that's what she does. Only the kazayik, so you don't make a bracha achrona.
Right. That's the whole question. The question is that if you have less than a kazayik, it's one of the most famous. There's certain problems in halacha where there's no way out. You can't be yotze every shita except for the bach, who has this innovative solution. But you go into the problem of if you make your adama on your karpas. So first of all, what about bracha achrona? And then if you notice something really interesting, you make an alachilas maror even though you already made your hamotzi, right? So then the question is that, and then what is the adama that you're making beforehand? Does that count for your maror later on? Yeah. And how does that work? Because you still made a, there's all these various questions that come up. So some shita say, have less than a kazayis, and then you get out of certain problems, right? But then there's a whole question of it's a vachil shal mitzvah. Every time you eat something that's a mitzvah, it requires a kazayis. You run into that problem. If you do the bracha achrona problem, then the question is, no, I mean, as far as I know, nobody makes a bracha achrona after having a kazayis of Mars. So they want to say that
it's brought down. Some do. They say
that's yachin. I'm saying no one I know of who holds
you wouldn't
a
make that dumb on the Mara anyway because it's not something you're dear to eat, right?
But okay, so that's what they want to say to get out of it. But it's a strange shita. So it's a big machlokas among the Rishonim. But I want to take up charosas. All right, for today.
Like you would make a bracha medicine, right? The worst tasting medicine.
No, you want to make, but I want to make bracha medicine no matter what because it's not ochel. You
right.
Taste
so
it.
The Mara you can argue it's not really.
But then you're going to run into a problem
because
if that's true, so that's why I don't hold to have like my wife's grandmother used to have like the stuff that if you look at it makes you cry, right? So the problem with that is that first of all, it definitely wasn't Mara. That's no question about it. The Gemara when it talks about examples of Mara, there's no way that was Mara. But let me ask you another question: how can you make a bracha? You have to have hana, you have to have enjoyment when you make a bracha on something. I don't mean like yeah, but I mean like something you want to have, right? If you have something that by definition, when you eat, you don't want to have, it's like repulsive in the sense that it makes you cry. You would never have that kind of charosis normally, mara normally. So the question comes up of, you know, why do people rely on that? I get it's because like a minhag from Poland and stuff like that. Say it again?
What was traditionally used as mara then?
So it's a good question. The Gemara has five different examples.
Not a European.
No. Someone would say endives. Endives is the one that most people point to. I don't know anyone who serves that, but I use
but it's in the lettuce.
Right.
It's in the lettuce family.
Right.
It's like a white lettuce.
I think the mistake people made is that.
Correct.
The question comes up though is it supposed to be sharp or bitter? That's the big machlokas. And sharp just means that it's something that like like I guess tangy, you know.
That's right. The horseradish is sharp.
Right, versus saying something bitter, and then some people confuse that with being like spicy, you know. So it's a sticky issue, so to speak. But you're definitely yosef if you use romaine lettuce. It's just the whole problem with romaine lettuce. You got to spend a lot of time cleaning it, you know. Right. Okay.
Like I could argue that fennel would be a perfect mirror.
Fennel.
Right?
That's
I
true.
I think it's exactly.
I don't like fennel.
I find it horrendous.
Right.
Like I never. No, but I'm saying that those green, like you know, those like dandelions, those are bitter.
Right.
Dandelions. Greens, like all those, you know, bitter greens.
Uh-huh. And,
I guess so. All right, but I want to think of charosis though, because charosis is a very odd thing in halacha. Okay, and there's, I'd say, two reasons why. So one reason is because most people don't ever know what to do with it, right? Like when to dip it, when to use it, etc. And the other thing, which is even more bizarre, and this is something to be sensitive about, is that halacha tends to be a very precise system. For instance, we know what our matzah is supposed to be. So, okay, I know we just had a conversation about maror. It's not exact, but we know what maror isn't, okay? But if I asked you right now how you make a charosis, I guarantee no one here makes charosis the same way. Is that correct? How do you make your charosis?
Apples.
Check.
Grapes, wine, apples, walnuts.
Okay, wine, okay. Here it comes. No? Okay, how does she make it?
I think the same way they said it.
Okay.
But I've been to Sfardi, and Sfardi have a totally
completely different.
Yeah.
Sfardi have a right. The Sfardi have a completely different way of doing it. It's just a different concoction, right? Yeah. There is
dates,
no real.
I think they use dates.
Right.
Green but, apples, walnuts, and usually wine or grape juice, depending
but if you get,
on.
Right.
If you go to an Israeli home, Ashkenazi Israeli, it's also very different. Like I've
Vigo
had
and,
very
yeah.
different.
Ben and Jerry's makes it like I do.
Oh.
How do you make your charosis?
It's also
cinnamon. Oh, right? Cinnamon, that's a big one. Cinnamon,
yeah,
right?
Cinnamon.
You'll see where that came from, by the way. Do you actually, you put ground cinnamon in there, or do you put the sticks?
Oh, ground.
Ground, okay.
And ground walnuts also.
Right.
I guess now, you dress it up at the table. Put it
right.
in the
yeah. But isn't that odd? Because we're so precise when it comes to, in halacha, we're very precise about these things, like a matzah, very precise. Maror, fine. You can argue within the species what kind it is, but maror is very precise. You can't use a fruit. But charosis, there is no actual mention in the Gemara of what is supposed to be in charosis, except for, as you'll see in a second, this word tapuach, which is a big question what the word tapuach means. Don't be biased by our use of modern Hebrew today. The word tapuach, it's unclear if that really refers to apples. As an example, you'll see later on in the Gemara, one of the reasons why we put apples in is to remember the apple trees that grew in Egypt. There's only one problem, though. Well, it's hard to know if there were actually apple trees in Egypt by the Nile River. Unclear. Probably not.
The climate is not.
Right, exactly. So when they say tapuach, do they really mean apples? Maybe they're referring to something different. I'm not saying don't use apples, but just as an example, going back historically, look at the Rambam. The Rambam's charosis was not at all sweet. He actually put vinegar in his charosis, right? So it's a funny thing. Like when I was a kid, I always associated charosis with being very sweet. You know, like but right. But so it's very interesting to see how the Gemara structures what the function of charosis is. So in my opinion, if we get this is what I love about Gemara. If we understand what charosis's objective is, then you'll see why it's not as important what it contains, and we'll have a better understanding what its function is at the Seder. Okay, and you'll see. Also, just for just to get a sense of what's going on in the Gemara, if you ever want to see the layout of the Haggadah, okay, all this stuff is laid out in the Mishnayos. Okay, meaning the Mishnayos actually go through the Seder. They don't go as specific as what we do, but they tell you. The order, Mazgul, Lo Kos, Rishon, they pour the first Kos, and you say Kiddush. It's actually laid out in the Mishnayos. So if you ever want to see where this stuff comes from, look at the Mishnayos, the Ein HaPsachim, and you'll actually see, you know, basically the order of how we do our Seder today. All right, so if you look at Kuf Yudal Amun Aleph, all right, this page here, the one that says Kuf Yudal on it, okay? So we're in the 10th parak of Psachim, very famous parak, the bottom Mishnah, okay? Who's going to read today? No volunteers? Someone has to volunteer to read, come on. There you go.
No.
Peter. Why?
I don't read this.
Aviva, you're up. No, you never read. That's right. You never read. That's right. But today you have to read.
No,
oh, come on.
No,
why?
No, no, no.
No, 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 no,
no. No, no,
no.
I somebody else.
Valerie's a good reader.
I never read. So.
So go ahead. Take it away. Okay. If you look at the Mishnah, the bottom Mishnah, now go to the second line. The second last word on the second line is Heviu Lefanov.
Heviu from their start?
Yeah.
Okay,
stop. All right, now what does that mean? The bottom Mishnah. Yeah, the second line. Go to the second line of the Mishnah. The second line of the Mishnah. Okay? The first line is dealing, that's a different question about Chazeres. So they brought before him, okay, matzah. Okay, we'll use Chazeres as mara for now. So matzah, mara, charoses, and shnei tafshilin. What does that sound like? No, no salt water. Gemara never talks about salt water. That's an invention later on. That's from the Rishonim. No salt water. Well, what does that sound like? What do they bring them? The kara. Okay. Now, I know today the common practice is that you have a Seder plate that goes on the table. But remember, back in the times of the Gemara and the Halacha, it was originally Koveya, that what would happen? So people used to sit. Well, you ever had their own mini table. Okay. So what happened is you'd have in front of you, right, a Seder plate. Okay, you have in front of you the Seder plate. You have on it matzah, maror, shnei tafshilin. What are shnei tafshilin? Okay, oh, we got to go historically. You're the one who showed me that. Remember, you showed me that picture of the originally shnei tafshilin was what? Shnei minei basar. Okay, in the times of the of.
Go back up. Why did everyone have their own plate?
That's the way people ate. That's the way people ate.
One siman for the table.
Right, correct. Everyone had their meal.
On the couch. They didn't sit around a table.
Or like little couches, right. I've wanted to do that for years, by the way. Yeah, to just buy like little couches and have little TV trays, and that's how I have a Seder, but no one in my family votes for it. So.
Or do the magid on your couch and come back to
table. Well, we do that, by the way. We actually break away from the table and go to my living room. Yeah, exactly.
My mother would take folding tables but not open them and put them down with bricks underneath them and then.
Yes, that isn't right. That masoretically, that's the way it was done.
Except the problem is, we don't do the coffee thing. So by meal,
right?
That's the problem.
But there's a misora for that. There's a real idea, and because it's a real like it's a different kind of eating experience, you know.
To get up and act out the story.
But let's go tie back to the times of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so what did you have in front of you? You had your matzah, maror, and charoses. And what else did you have? Your korban chagiga and korban pesach. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so today we do Shnei Tafshilin. Originally, or in the early Gaonim and Rishonim, Shnei Tafshilin meant two meats, okay? One meat, Zecher Chagiga, one meat, Zecher Korban Pesach. It evolved into, it's an early minhag, but it evolved into changing one of them into the egg, okay? Which has this all other rationale why.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question off that. Why is it that you put the roasted... It's supposed to be roasted lamb, but people use roasted chicken bone, roasted some
right.
kind of meat, but yet you're not allowed to eat it. Like, you eat everything off the Seder plate, but how come you're not allowed to eat that roasted item?
Right, so I eat it. Now, yeah. Now, that gets into the issue of, it's a question of, we want to do things in remembrance of the Korban Pesach, but we're not allowed to duplicate the Korban Pesach. So there's a fear that this thing is just simply like a symbol of what took place. But if you go ahead and eat it, those who say you shouldn't eat it are saying you're treating it as if it actually is the Korban Pesach. And you're not supposed to do that. In other words, it should be more like a siman, like a zecha. You know what I mean? That's an interesting spara. I don't hold that. I also don't want it to go to waste. So what I do is that I don't use an egg. I use two pieces of meat, right? And just two different kinds of meat, and I make it part of my meal. I don't want it to go to waste. You know, it's good stuff.
So there's no problem with it. You can just take it off the Seder plate.
Yes, I don't. It's not a chafsa. It has no kedusha to it. I mean, I know there are shittas who say that way, but the Rishonim never talk about that. They say enjoy it. Okay,
so it's like minhag. You're saying
right? Is that you eat your matzah? Right? You eat the matzah after kara. Yeah, you eat your okay. Right. So that's what I do. I eat it, but I mean, there are people say not to. So I don't do roasted lamb. According to one shita, you shouldn't. It's interesting. One shita says you shouldn't roast it because that's too close to Korban Pesach. Right. So what I do is that I what's like roasting. Mm-hmm. So I'll boil it, right? And then boil the other one or something, or fry the other one, something along the lines of that. So I just have two different kinds. So okay. But that's your ka'ara. So your ka'ara you have in front of you, shnei minei tafshilin, okay? Notice the Mishnah is very vague, two cooked things. By the way, also well, okay, we won't get into that, but you don't have to actually use meat. There's also a question you can use rice. Other things you could use also. It's not only meat, but whatever.
Vegetarian, right?
Yeah. Well, let's just make it simple. Two types of meat or meat and egg. Your matzah, your mara, and your charoses. Okay? Now, if I ask you right now, the fact that the charoses is on the Seder plate would seem to indicate that functionally the charoses is a mitzvah, right? Because what I have on there, I have matzah, mitzvah, mara, mitzvah derabanan, shnei tafshilim. So even if you want to say today, those two things are zecher, but they're in remembrance of that which was a mitzvah to eat. Mm-hmm. And then this thing called charoses, okay? Is it a mitzvah to eat it? So look at the next part of the Mishnah.
It's like the ketchup, you know.
Oh, okay, hold on to that, Phyllis. That's very good. You're actually right. You'll see, you'll see. Right, so it's interesting. So the Mishnah qualifies itself and says, even though the charoset is not a mitzvah, you have to bring it with you on the ka'ara. Which is a funny statement the Mishnah is making. Even though it's not a mitzvah to have charoset, it still belongs on the ka'ara. Okay? Don't worry, charoset is going to make it back into the picture, because Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok says no. He says, Omer,
Mitzvah,
that's it. Mitzvah. Okay. So he says, no, it is a mitzvah. And you have a very funny, obviously it's not a Doraisa, it's not a Torah machlokas, it's a Darabana machlokas. The question is charoset a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? Very funny, funny argument. Why would you say one over the other? Okay. So turn the page over and let's do the first part of the Gemara, and then we're going to come back and go to the original page and look at Tosfos. Okay. Look at the Gemara. All right. So if you look at the Gemara, it is 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the top. Okay.
Below?
Yeah. Okay, so what's the Gemara's question? It's such a great question. See, you have to have a sense of humor if you read Gemara. So if the charoset is not a mitzvah, so what's the Gemara asking?
Why is it there?
Exactly. So why the heck put the charoset on your ka'ara? It's
a lot of work.
What?
It's a lot of work,
right? If it's not a mitzvah, then why bring it? Right? Why bring the charoset on the ka'ara if it's not a mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah, according to the second shita, then it makes sense why. But if it's not, why have it on the ka'ara? Now, here's the Gemara's answer. Amar Rav Ami, go on. Mishum kapa. Okay. What is kapa? Okay, now take a look at Rashi. Rashi is going to be the last of the top wide lines. Up there. Okay, so he says, Mishum kapa?
Yeah.
So he says, go ahead.
Saref ha-chazeret, tashev yeshbo.
Eres. Okay. So what it means is like this, okay? Now, this certainly points in the direction of those who like horseradish. This would fit that properly, except the only problem is this is more of their concept medically, okay? Srafa chazeres. That means there's a certain, when you eat this sharp food, yeah. But they held, okay, we got to go back in time, okay? Back in time, they were very into the idea of, and it made a lot of sense, of a balance in the human body. They used to believe in things called humors. Right, where your body required an ideal balance. So, for instance, if it's very hot outside, if you're very hot, what should you do? No, that would be bad. Drink cold, because cold will restore your balance, okay? By the way, people still believe those kind of things today, okay? So, although, like in other countries, for instance, in Mexico, my understanding is that they actually drink hot tea.
No, in Egypt and everywhere else.
Right, okay. But I'm just saying there was a belief that, so what's the charoset doing? Since the chazeres is sharp, but because they thought it was an actual health issue. So you put the charoset on the maror, right? And what's the, again, the charoset goes on the maror. We all know we dip our maror in charoset. Why? According to this position, you're dipping it in to restore balance, meaning it's a little too spicy or bitter to have this maror. So bring it back to restoring balance a bit, add the charoset. Okay? That sounds a lot like ketchup. Okay? Now turn back to the first page. Okay? All right, look at the bottom Tosos. So Tosos is on the left. I don't think we have done a Tosos. Maybe we did one Tosos, but Tosos is on this side, okay? Mm-hmm. So Tosos adds asks a fascinating question, and then it'll really, to my opinion, really demonstrate what charoset, why charoset belongs on the Ka'ara, according to the first Shita. So this is Afal Pi Shein Charoset Mitzvah. You're up. It's okay, I have the same issues myself.
No.
Ati.
Ati charoset
derushut u mevatel chazarat mitzvah. Stop. So you have a great question, okay? It's such a great, like, analytical question.
Yeah, that if you want to eat something bitter, want to invalidate the bitterness of what you're achieving in that mitzvah.
Oh, very good. In other words, you're going to have a problem here. If you're telling me the charoset is being eaten, right, if the charoset is no, before the Gemara says this, Tosos is jumping the gun. Tosos is saying, it's not a mitzvah to have this. But I have a bigger question now. It's not a mitzvah to have it. What you're doing is you're taking away from
the mitzvah of the
maror. The mitzvah of the maror is vayimaru eschayim, that I think about the bitterness in Egypt. So,
the flavor a little bit.
Right, that would be taken away from the mitzvah. That's not a culinary idea. It's a halachic idea. It's mevatel the mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah is to really feel this bitterness. And what's the charoset is doing? It's impinging on this mitzvah. It's being mevatel, which would be a big problem. Fabulous question. So his answer is great. He says, V'yesh lomar.
V'yesh lomar dechyon?
Kevan.
Dechyon, decholika, maro lo nitkan, rak betibol, becharoset, Mishum kapa lo mikre
bitul dakah. Okay, so that's why when you get more comfortable with Gemara, Tosos, you get used to these things that Tosos does. Tosos, you wouldn't know what kapha was unless you read the Gemara.
I don't know why I never volunteered to read.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. You're fine.
No, I can't see.
So Tosos is great. Tosos is cheating ahead because what the Gemara is going to say. But what's his answer? I'm just going to translate it literally. His answer is, Marah was the Iker Marah, the essential Marah was only created, right, with Tibul in Charosis, with dipping in Charosis because of the potential harmful side effect that Marah could produce. Right. So therefore, that's why Charosis exists, meaning it was part of the original Takana.
So what... Right. So that's not the
kind of
that's right.
Right. This one. Correct. This is saying that Chazal came along and said, when you have that Marah, right, have it with Charosis.
So you're saying they modified the Deraisa to say...
They're saying that the Deraisa, they're expanding the Deraisa to include this Derabanan. They're saying, you're asking a good question. Is it Ma'akev? No. Meaning, if I didn't have Charosis in my Marah, of course I'm Yotze in my Marah. Although the question is, Marah is Derabanan or Deraisa? But sometimes it's based on Mikdash. I'm still Yotze in
like
my Marah.
The salt and the honey on the Kurban, you know, you put salt on your challah, you Yotze still, but you're supposed to, but honey you can.
Not on the challah.
Right.
You dip it in the...
But I'm saying it's one is enhancing, one is changing the flavor.
Right.
So the charoset, though, is also like a
But what's Tosos saying, though? Tosos is saying... Tosos is brilliantly answering the question of why it belongs in the Kara. And how do you get out of the problem? How do you get out of the problem of Bittul Mitzvah? Why is it not Mevatel Mitzvah? So we...
The Marah is still so strong and you're only dipping a teeny bit...
So you're right, but let's go even further.
I would say then your Marah has to be super, super strong, or else you're really not fulfilling the mitzvah.
Right, well, that's true, because it has to be potent enough that you would have this type of effect, but I don't think potent enough that that makes you cry, because I don't know how that's a nechila, all right? But let's say you're right. I'll give you leeway. Let's say you're 100% right, it has to be extremely potent. What Tosos is saying is that, what did they do? Midurabanan, okay? What they did was is that they said, okay, the act of eating Marah must now include charosis, meaning... When I get up, when I'm up to the part of Marah, right, part of the eating of Marah includes charosis. It's not a dip, okay? We'll see when it comes up as a dip in a second. It's not a dip. It's that beforehand, midrabanan, not midaraisa. Midrabanan, you thought it was just eating Marah. Mm-hmm. Now they're saying, no, the eating of Marah includes charosis.
So they won't be shaking it off.
No shaking off. It's part of the eating.
For Korech, you have it.
That's true. That's true. But we understand what he's saying. He's saying that, in other words, it's not, in other words, when you're up to the Marah part of your Seder, according to this first way of learning, okay? Exactly. Don't say to yourself, I'm having my Marah, in other words, meaning I'm having my piece of lettuce. Marah means lettuce plus charosis. That is what Marah becomes. So that's what it means it's not a mitzvah. Because what's it doing on the car for? Oh, it has a function. It's part of the Marah. So in that version, when you look at your Seder plate, what do you actually see in an abstract way? Matzah, your Shnei Tavshilin, and Marah, which is comprised of two parts, the lettuce and the charosis, that becomes your Marah. That's one way of learning. So the charosis becomes subsumed underneath the identity of Marah. That's one way. We don't pass in that way.
What's the shaking off thing, then?
I like it.
What's the shaking off?
You know how to make dip, you know, the
It gets even worse. You'll see about that in a second.
Why do you become so machmir about everything? Right?
Because when we fail to understand the rationale for things, that's why. We've drifted away from understanding the conceptual underpinnings of how things work. But right now, if you learn this way, now you already see, you see Marah completely differently. You see, it's not just Marah and Charosis, it's one concept overall.
So where is the source of
the Charosis? Okay, good. So one possibility, in the first way of learning, is going to say, there is no real halachic source for Charosis, it's just Chazal felt that you had to have something with your Marah. Meaning, in the first way of learning, there is no specific ingredients for charosis. It could be ketchup. It could be anything that would somehow remove the actual strength of the power of the Marah. Okay? There is no basar for that. The second way we go, which is the mitzvah way, that's where you'll see the things we do today, which is how we paskin. But if you have like the first way, right, if it's not a mitzvah, then it wouldn't really matter what you use. I mean, I wouldn't use spicy mustard, obviously. But I'm saying honey, any of those things would all be considered, so to speak, charosis, because they're functioning to take away from the strength of the Marah. You know what I mean? Or in other words, charosis doesn't become, to put it more Aristotelian, it's not a substance, it's a function. It's that which functions to minimize the tam of the Marah. So that could be anything.
Which is a mouth that could work with the story anyway, you know.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. Oh, no. We're going to get that,
It is rationale for it.
For sure.
Can you go back to what you commented on about the lettuce and the marmor? Why the two different types of marmor?
What do you mean?
I missed something.
Oh, no, don't worry. No. You mean like the super strong marmor versus like romaine lettuce?
Yeah.
Oh, no. In other words, I'm not convinced. I always have a lot of troubles when I've seen people eat the horseradish, who like the real old school horseradish, like the white carrot thing. Mm-hmm. They'll take a bite and like they can barely chew it. Right. They're like crying, you know. So I'm not sure if that's a real achila, that's a real eating. Because how can you make a bracha on something? It's one thing to say something's bitter. It's another thing to say that I can barely swallow the thing.
So if you mix it with something, then it's
well, then it becomes more tolerable.
And we sprinkle it on the lettuce with some charoset.
Right.
You make it early in the day in the food processor. Right.
Right.
My father was
method
by hand
because
he don't
like it.
And
my
father was a
anything the whole year was eating the bar.
Right.
My father was,
I know exactly. It's a big thing.
Generation,
but that's a generation that unfortunately is really one that's like just was drowning in sorrow, so to speak. So it kind of fits the theme of that generation. Like us now, like we're happier. So
what? Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay, so
always.
So now turn the page back over again. So if you look now back in our Gemara, right? So now skip down. Then the Gemara explains some of the scientific aspects of reducing tom, which we're not going to get into. Skip down now to where it says Rav Elazar bar Tzadok Omer Mitzvah. Okay, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the top. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to explain. This we're all going to be familiar with, I think. The Gemara is going to explain now. If you hold it to mitzvah, what do you do? Okay, so Rav Elazar bar Tzadok Omer Mitzvah. Okay, now before we read the Gemara, if I told you it's a mitzvah, okay, what should be required to say?
A bracha.
A bracha. So the Rambam in his Parash Mishnayos actually had a bracha to say on charoses, but later on in the Mishnah Torah he doesn't have that. So most claim he changed his mind.
Is it possible it's part of achilat mara?
No, you'll see. Not anymore. If it's a mitzvah, you can't say it's part of achilat mara. It's its own thing. But it doesn't have a bracha.
He said Adama.
You also do that later on by Mar. You know what I mean? So it's a good question. No one passes today say bracha.
That's why you can't have so much of it. That's why you have to shake it off.
You're doing it together. Ikar v'tafel, right?
It's true. Right, exactly. That's true. Right. That's true.
We don't, you don't make a separate bracha.
Well, we don't even know what's in the charosis yet, though. So watch. The Gemara's going to tell us, okay? The Gemara's going to say... Exactly, right. So the Gemara says, my mitzvah. So we want to know, what do you mean it's a mitzvah? Meaning, what's the mitzvah here? Okay, so the Gemara explains.
Rabbi, from my mitzvah?
Yeah.
Rabbi Levi Omer, Zecha LeTapuach. The Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Zecha LeTit.
Stop.
That's okay. A familiar answer.
Good. Okay, so Rav Levi says it's Zecha LeTapuach. And the other one says Zecha LeTit. Now, we all know Tit. That's the mortar. Okay. So take a look at the Rashbam. So the Rashbam is the longer one on the bottom right side, which says Rashbam. So if you go down to where he says... even I can't read it well. Zecher Tapuach. Okay, it's like, it's hard to describe where it is. It's like, it's like here. Zecher Tapuach.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sota she hayu yoldot sham bineyam.
Below Etzev. Okay, so there's this great miracle of sorts where what happened, the Jewish women were able to give birth to children below Etzev. Halavai. I don't mean just epidural. Yeah. I mean like no etzeb. Below etzeb meaning no pain, no nothing. Okay? All right, keep going. Shalom.
Because
what they didn't want to happen was what?
That they didn't want to hear
them.
Exactly. So somehow they were able to give birth silently. Okay? Okay. Oraticha. Okay, now, just to be quasi-academic for a second, that array should drive a little suspicion because the pasuk says tachas
tapuach
hatapuach oraticha. Where's that from?
Shirashirim.
Not from Torah. So it's using a remez from Shirashirim, which has nothing to do whatsoever with Yitzias Mitzrayim, for this. Okay, but they've done that before. Fine, I'm not so bothered by that. But what's zecher tapuach? Zecher tapuach is you're remembering that they gave birth under these apple trees, right? That's the insinuation from Shirashirim. And because when they gave birth, it happened to be apple trees that were there, and they gave birth in a way that was, didn't get caught by the Egyptians, okay? So that's one pshat. That's tapuach. What's the other one? Go on in, and he doesn't even, Rashman doesn't even explain it, but we know why zecher latit. Zecher latit is because Let's be very specific. Right. In other words, Vaimarus Chayam, right? Bavodah Kasha. So that means in general, what do you call it? You know, they made them work really hard. But then remember in Paro's plan B, right? There's plan A, which is, I'd say, regular enslavement, where B'nai Israel weren't involved, put in today's industrial terms, they weren't involved in the raw materials. They're involved in the more creative aspect of labor, which is you give me the raw materials and what do? I build things, all right? But Paro's plan B, after Moshe starts knocking him, is, okay, well, now they're going to have to make the bricks themselves, okay? What's odd about this machlokas on the surface? One side says Zeichel Tapuach, which is the nais that the women were able to give birth without any pain, and that's Tapuach. The other one is talking about... What?
That's not hidden.
One is positive, one is negative.
I don't know. Maybe women didn't give birth in the fields. I don't know.
I mean, but then they'll be seen. And then they'll know that they gave birth.
Right. So I'm not... I don't know what would be required to escape the clutches of the Egyptians, but whatever.
A positive nais.
There you go.
Zecher a negative.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is they're so far apart from each other. One guy's saying, oh, Zecher Tapuach, which is a positive thing, right? Which is... Now think about this for a second. You eat your maror, vayimaru es chayim, but then you have Zecher Tapuach, right? In other words, you're dipping your maror into the charosis. The other side says, no, maror, and then what's the latit teaching you? Worse. Okay. So let me explain. So what's the machlokas then? How do we explain that?
Okay. So they tricked them into the slavery. They tried to show them that it was a good thing.
Okay.
Have them come and start, and then they made it, you know, and they thought, hey, great, we can all do this. This is going to be for the good of everybody, and then they didn't let him go. You know, there was misery. It's hidden. There's a whole hidden.
So that you're talking about is the second side.
The teeth, right.
Okay, what about the first side?
I don't know, you sure it's not tapuach and not tafuach?
Oh, even so, it's a good thing, though. It's a positive.
Yeah, okay. So, in other words, how is it, if the bad really has good hidden with the bad,
okay.
The second one?
Okay.
The first one is really good.
Okay.
And they're both positive.
Okay, not bad. Okay, not
ish.
Bad. Get it? Okay. But maybe you can say it like this. I mean, along those same lines. In other words, the first side is saying very nicely. The first side is saying that, why do you have to have Zecher Tapuach? Because when you have your maror and you're thinking Vaimaru Eschayim, which is a horrible thing,
you have... There was nisim there.
Right, exactly. You can't think it was all bad. You have to, in some part of you has to recognize that there was some good still taking place. And it's very, and again, I know it's always easy to use like examples from any time in the Jewish history we were persecuted. But even in the depths of persecution, we always have to look for that one thing we can hang our, say, oh, there is still a positive.
Small miracle.
Bingo. So that's why, so that's a great shot. When you have your maror and you dip into the charoses, you should be thinking, vayimaru es chayim. But at the same time, it wasn't objectively, like intrinsically problematic all the way through, there was still something good happening. There was still some relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reflecting this idea of Nes. That's Tapuach. What's the other side saying though? So why would you, it's interesting, why would you want to make it worse?
The other side is saying that it doesn't negate the Marah because it's adding the bitterness, the memory of the teeth to the Marah.
Okay, so but why need that then? Why not just say what do you call it? Maro should be
justifying the humors.
Oh, it's okay, fine. But Maro should be good. But don't cheat. That's the first shot. The second shot doesn't care about that. Why shouldn't we just say, listen, Maro should be sufficient. Life sucked, right? What do we need this extra additional suckiness added to the Maro for? And think about that, by the way. Now you can already get a sense of why, even though it has to minimize the burningness. The burning of the Chazeres, or the Mara, that doesn't mean it should be something necessarily sweet, okay? It's expressed through, if it's going to be teat, what's it expressed through? Not through the flavor. We all know that.
The texture.
That's what it's supposed to be. You'll see in a second by the Gemara. It's supposed to be like this mortary-ish type of substance. But why is it important for us to think the worst things? In other words, Vayimaros Chayim should be sufficient. Why go as far as to say, not only were our lives stinky because we were building these pyramids and being enslaved, but it was even worse than we thought because we had to actually make the bricks themselves. Why emphasize that?
But was it part of that, you learn the drash that the children were part of the mortar, like it's taking the other side of that miracle of how the women gave birth, but what was done with the babies when they were fed?
Oh, okay. So that's okay, interesting. That's the Yerushalmi. All right. The Gemara, the Bavli never mentions that. The Yerushalmi is going to mention this idea of the dam. Okay, that part of the charos is the dam, which is for the babies, etc. We'll get to that. That's another reason. But right now, we're just going to take the simple one, which is the extra labor the Jews had to do.
But what about later on? You know, they're always comparing how life was better in Mitzrayim.
Okay.
So you have to take that other, so it was bad, we can handle the bad. But remember,
It was even worse and bad because you also had to do it on your own and bring it on yourself.
Okay, good. I like that. In other words,
it's coming back.
Right. I like that. I think that's the point. The point is that right. The point is that the Seder is all about contrast. Very into contrast, right? Me'avdus l'cheirus, right? This whole business of we go from the lowest to the highest. Right. So it works out perfectly. In other words, dig the deepest hole possible. When you have your mara, right? You should understand that. In other words, don't think it was just kind of like, eh. You know, but not so bad. It was really bad, like really bad. But when you think of things that are really bad, the idea of contrast becomes so much clearer. You're so much more appreciative of how things aren't for the good if you really understand how bad things are. So there's two ways you can go. Do you say...
But both ways are giving you a more of a hint of what life is like in Mitzrayim.
Yes, I agree, 100%.
Either way you go.
Yes, and that's why, beautiful, and that's why, look at the next line in the Gemara. You intuited exactly what the Gemara is about to say. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye... Oh, it's we're from Rav Elazar Bar Tzadok. It's two lines down. It says Amar Abaye Hilkach. Okay, right. Okay, it's close enough, right? It's lekave zecher letapuach. Stop. So what do you have to do then? So now it all comes together. We paskin like both. Okay, both. The ingredients have to be zeich tapuach, okay? But the texture has to be latit. Amazing idea. So meaning both ideas can coexist. Just like what you're saying, by the way, is beautiful. Exactly, that's what Pshat Gemara is saying both exist. But halachically, how does that translate halachically? Remember, in the first way of learning, there is no halachic form to charosis. It doesn't matter. But here, what happens now? There is a halachic form, meaning... There has to be this the tapuach inside, and by the way, it has to be nicker. I mean, you have to see the substance, but the texture has to reflect the teat. Okay, it's a beautiful convergence of the two. Okay.
You really do the deep spread or the deep chunk because it is dense. Like, if you ever
who said eggs?
The package. They do. They make it
right. Right.
It's like the one that
was the package you have to cut open, and that's usually what they use.
Right. For sure. For sure. For sure.
So where do they get the dates? Just from the sweet?
Well, that's the thing. So it's sweetness.
Doesn't even say
matel. Oh, could be.
It never uses matel.
Nope, it does not. And like I said, the Rambam.
Some apples are not.
100%. And if you look at the Masorah, there is no. If you look at a lot of the posting, there is no clear position about what it's supposed to contain.
So
okay. That's a great question. I've asked some academics a question, and they're not really sure. It's a big question about. Some want to say there were apple trees in Egypt. Others want to say no.
It's really not being tapuach.
Because I don't think there were most likely there were apple trees in Egypt.
I would
have
thought there were watermelons if I didn't hear from
it's
them.
That's true. Although I'm not an expert in what do you call it?
Squash, watermelons, right. It sounds exotic, like Hawaii, right?
Right. But now let me ask you a question now. But now we can take a step back. Now, let's see. Both the first side and second side, I mean, the first way to learn the Gemara, that's not a mitzvah, and the way that it is a mitzvah, both agree, everyone agrees, that the Mara is eaten with the charosis. But here's where things get really interesting, okay? The Rambam holds, okay, most people don't do this, I do, because it's more fun that way, that everything you eat at the Seder, right, meaning your matzah, your korech, your maror, are always dipped in charosis, okay? Always. A lot of people don't like the matzah idea. Yeah, but why? Why would the Rambam say that? And I think it fits right into what this Gemara is telling you, okay? What's the function of charosis now? Okay, you can't say the charosis is functioning. In other words, most people want to learn the charosis is only functioning for the mara itself. Okay, the first way of learning the Gemara for sure agrees with that because it's there to minimize the sraf of the mara. But this way of learning has nothing to do with that.
Experiential.
Well, it's definitely experiential.
So
right?
Everything you're doing is it's so you have to experience. So
right.
If you dip it in, you feel
okay.
Exactly
right.
What
so there's two ways you can go. You can either say the mitzvah charosis is tied to the experience of the mara itself, and then it's really limited to mara. That's one way you can learn. The other way you can learn, and I think the Rambam is learning the Mishnah this way, which I think is, in my opinion, is more creative, is that the mitzvah of charosis is that I have my bread, meaning my matzah, right? I have my mar, right? I have my korban pesach, let's say. And now the meal's missing one last thing, okay? What we'll call the halachic dip, okay? Meals have dips, right? They were very much more into dips back then than we are today. But throughout halacha, you always see this idea of dips. For instance, the idea of bringing salt to the table today, which is a lot of weird reasons why people do it, but it really was, it wasn't salt. It was any dip, hummus. All right, if you put hummus on your table and you make hamotzi, you're fine. You don't have to bring out salt. Hummus is just fine. A dip. Charosis becomes the halachic dip of the Seder. So according to the Rambam, what's the mitzvah of charosis? The mitzvah of charosis is every time I have a mitzvah achila, right, I must dip it in charosis. That's how the Rambam holds. So anytime I have something shel mitzvah, it gets dipped into charosis. So there's two ways you can learn. Either you learn charosis as a din in maror itself, which is one way to learn. But the other way to learn is to say, no, charosis becomes the dip of the Seder. And where does the Rambam get that from? From the Mishnah. The Mishnah says they brought the kara out and had on it, right, matzah maror, charosis, shnei tafshilin. Not bring the charosis later on when I have my maror, but it's on there the entire time. Because what's its function? It is the halachic ketchup of the Seder. Every time I have a halachic achila, I dip in the charosis. That's what the Rambam held, okay? Which I do because it's more fun that way. And yes, dip it. That doesn't mean dip and then shake it all off. Right. It also doesn't mean dip it. You can't. It's a dip. The same way if I take a piece of pita and I dip it into hummus, I don't right. The same thing here. You dip it. It doesn't mean to shake the whole thing off.
Stick as much as hummus. I was barely anything on it.
Well, that's true.
Specifically,
right. But remember, but if the texture is mortar-like, you should be able to get a good chunk of.
We have two at our table. One's very ground and mortar-like, and one is more chunks of it.
Right.
One grandparents and the other.
But this is only when you have it with the matzah.
No, so I have it with matzah and maror and korah. Yeah. Even karpas too, by the way, but I'm not getting too much trouble.
The egg in salt water, you don't
need. No, I don't use salt water.
The egg in karpas?
No, you mean karpas. I don't use salt water. I use karpas for everything, all the way through. Karpas also. Yeah. Well, mei melach is a later minog. Okay, I'm not against it. Tosos brings it down; it's legitimate. But I just do everything in charosis because that's the.
Do you have melach on your table?
I do this year. I have to because I have relatives coming.
Do you shop the yeshiva boys to the core when they come to you for Pesach?
Well, yes and no. I mentioned this before. I think before you were here, one of the problems that exists today is there's too much education of the Seder before the Seder, so it lacks any spontaneity. The beauty of the Seder is supposed to be spontaneity. It's supposed to be like what? Right. But if you're going to teach them, they can't know what's going on when they walk in. But when they come in, look, I learned this Dvar Torah in school. That's not the Seder. The Seder isn't what you learned before. It's what we learned tonight, the new ideas we conceive of tonight. It's not taking out Rabbi X's Haggadah and reading what he wrote. It's about us together coming up with some new ideas. Like, what's your take on this? What part of the thing is to get kids to ask is to do things that are strange. So today, unfortunately, everyone knows what to expect of the Seder. You lose that. But there are ways to do it. The famous story of Rechaim used to always like wear a pot in his head. Or when I was younger, I used to, with my kids, I would always just change it up. Every year, it'd be like, one year, we'd make Kaddish Rochatz, Karpas, Yachatz. And I was like, okay. And I just take, like, one year, I bought them basketball uniforms. I said, this is for you. Let's go outside and play basketball. And during basketball, we had like questions on the Seder, okay? Just ways to just change it up. What I do now is just, I'm just older. It takes a good hour and a half. It's great. I have this massive Pesach Jeopardy game, okay?
Yeah,
right. And I try to make it so it transcends, it includes everybody. So like I have questions on My Little Pony, but tied into the Seder, or it takes me like hours to work it out. Physics questions, sports questions. Xbox. One year I did Xbox games. But I'm good with puns, so I'm able to tie it in together. But the point is it keeps them all involved and learning something new. That's the beauty of it. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's been boiled down to simply reading through the Haggadah. That's no fun. Make it interesting. Make it spontaneous. Make it spontaneous. Make the kids and you, also us, we're also responsible. The Seder has to be something new to us as well. You should discover something new at your Seder. It can't just be regurgitating what someone else said. It's not just reading what the Haggadah says. The Haggadah is like a gateway to something deeper. And trust me, there's tons of questions every year you can come up with when you look at the Seder. So anyway, so getting back to charosis, so what do we see for charosis? We see charosis is really, in my opinion, the Ramhel, it was the dip of the Seder, okay? Every time you do, the mitzvah of charosis is, every time I do an achila shel mitzvah, I dip in a charosis. Or the other way is, no, it was really set up specifically for the Mara. That's why the Mei Melach came along, because when people stopped doing, well, I don't know how many people like the Ramam, the Karpas was doing something.
Pesach Mitzrayim was different than Pesach Dorot, right?
That's true, right?
So, and then Dorot was different, Dorot, Midor Lador. If so, when did the salt water came along later on? That's post-Chorban.
Right.
Before that, they probably dipped away the Charoset.
For sure.
They stopped and they right. Put it on the edge.
It's also because people make so much of it, so like I feel like, why not use it throughout the Seder, you know what I mean? Like, my wife never makes like a little tiny thing, you know? I'm an evil person. I always go by, I have a theory that like, like one time when someone made like a really good cake, I'm like, wow, that was great. It's like Duncan Hines-esque, you know? So the person was insulted. I'm like, what do you mean? It's the greatest compliment. Because Duncan Hines took the greatest bakers in the world, got them together and said, make me the ultimate cake. So what better thing to look up to than Duncan Hines? I mean, seriously, right? Duncan Hines is the right, or Entenmann's, right? What is that? Am I wrong about that?
That's preservatives in its longer, for sure.
Fine. I'm not saying it's healthier. Shortcuts. I'm talking about what tastes good.
I know, but
my husband would make the same comment.
Maybe
I would also not understand why somebody would be insulted by
it. So I'm also convinced that by charoses, like when I was younger, like this, my mom used to make charoses, but the store stuff was so much better, you know? It's interesting, in Israel, I haven't found, from my palate, I've not found good charoses.
I literally have my phone for today, because I guess I pass it from March to March. You know, no Kapolsky cream cakes. Only Osa, like I wrote myself, do not buy an Osa. This is what we've learned over the years, and I keep a schedule.
Right.
So I know what to shop for and not to shop for.
So I'm not buying, I don't buy any store-bought charoses anymore. Let's do one last thing, because I got to go. Oh, so that's a huge machlokas Rishonim, what those words mean. Oh. The easy way to learn is kaveh means it has to be chunky, and smuche means like smooth out texture. Okay, that's how most shitas learn. There is a machlokas about among some a minority Rishonim doesn't mean that. Okay, but according to most Rishonim, it means substance, meaning kaseh has to have tapuach, like chunky tapuach in there. Okay. But smuche means the texture must reflect the teeth. Okay. If you just take a look at Tosos, I'm just going to read only because I need to leave it a couple minutes. The Tosos, it says, Sarech l'smuche v'sarech l'kahave. You see that? It's the second Tosos down on this side.
Yeah.
Okay? So look what he says. He says, Yerushalmi Amar, right? He quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, which is Tosos' way of saying, I'm not satisfied with the Bavli. It says there, Is the avde zecher l'dam. Okay? We do charosis in remembrance of the dam. Okay? Umishim hachi kari le tibulo b'mashkev. That's very funny. That's why it's called, the Gemara does use the lashon sometimes, of dipping it into mashke. Now, you have to understand, Tosos is egging us onto something. Another one of those things that's really odd why it's not done today. So I assume everyone here does Urchatz, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Why do you do Urchatz?
So you're going to touch the karpas?
Really? The karpas is wet, right? That's usually the reason why you wash your hands before you have a wet vegetable, because the halacha is you're supposed to wash your hands before you have wet fruits or vegetables. Here's the problem, though. The only time during the year that anyone ever does that is Pesach. There's no halacha like that. Right. In other words, it's not Urchatz, it's that the halacha is, because if Tosos comes along and says, Tosos in his time said the halacha of tibul b'mashke, meaning washing beforehand, does not apply anymore. So according to Tosos, which everyone has what to rely on, right? So therefore, right, so then Urchatz is funny. So that's why for sure you wouldn't make a bracha, and you're only doing it as minug. So today, most people hold, but the gra held, you always wash before you have a wet fruit. What I try and do, by the way, as much as possible, is if I ever wash an apple, there's an easy way around the problem. What do you do? Dry it off. Right, if you dry off the water, then you don't have to wash. Okay.
Also, is it your hand touching? Or possibly you use a fork and dip it in.
That's also, okay, that's true. That's what you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But especially if you're having salad.
That's true. I didn't think of that.
Celery and a fork. And then you're using kale.
That's true. I didn't think of that. I usually just grab it with my hand.
Back then, that's how they ate.
Right.
That's also different.
So he says it's tibul mashke, which implies that the charosis was liquiding. Okay, it was liquidy. Okay, and he says v'chein ima davar lismuche uveshas achila mekalshin aso b'yayin uvechometz. Okay, so what would you do then? He says what you would do is you would weaken it, meaning it would start off as thick, and then what you'd have to do is you have to like dilute it by adding in yayin, which is wine, or what's chometz?
Vinegar.
Okay.
On the teeth of the rum.
Exactly. So there are that which does not sound like something that tastes very sweet. If you add vinegar to it, it's much more pungent.
And the wine wasn't sweet then either.
For sure. But it's clear according to Tosfos, according to Yerushalmi, that the charoses, but David Kornheim, the charoses is in line with the second position in the Gemara, which is zecher latit, meaning it's to remember something bad. And he explains to the Gaonim, right? The Gaonim, so now we're going back to the earliest possible Masoretic tradition of charoses, uvetshuvas Gaonim, mefarish lasos charoses beperos shenidmen l'knesses Yisrael v'shir shirim, tachas etapur horaticha. And they would say, what would you do? You would use the fruits, okay, that are compared to Knesset Yisrael, to Bnei Yisrael, okay? And what are those, right? Kepela Harimon, Hata'ina Chanta, I forgot that word, I learn it every year. Chanata, right? Amarti Ale B'Tamar, Egos, Alginat Egos, Ushkedim, Ashim Shishakar, Kodesh Baruch, Alokates. Now we're starting to hear similarities to what we do today. Any fruit in Shir Shirim that's used in comparison to Bnei Yisrael, you should include in the Charoses, okay? So that's where some of this has come from, these different kinds of fruits. However, what do you certainly see from this? There is no real clear Masorah, but what goes into your charosah. So if someone tells you they make it with ABC and you make it with DEF, it doesn't matter. Really, it's not a very relevant thing. What seems to be more relevant is, it sounds like there should be some, I guess, apples. Even though you see Tosos isn't concerned about it, but some apples in there. Mm-hmm. But I would hold that you should be able to, the ingredient should contain that. And the texture should be one that's very smooth. Tosos would say liquidy. But the, most Rishonim don't learn that way. They learn it should be like a mortary type of texture. If you hold Zecher Ladam, then you want to actually see like liquid on it. Okay, if you hold its Zecher Latit in the Gemara sense, the Bavli sense, mm-hmm. it should have like that mortar texture. Okay? So when you walk out of here,
you put your wine in at the end to water it up right before the Seder. You add the wine. We used to.
Yeah, exactly. Right, right.
Top it off with more wine.
But think about how cool this is now. But look what we've done. In 45 minutes, we've taken charosis, which was we take it from something that's very symbolic, right, to something very halachic. You see now, it has a very important function. Either you say functions to as part of the Achilas Mara itself, which is one way, or the way we paskin is mitzvah, and you see as a mitzvah, what's its function? What's to evoke a certain type of idea? It's not just there for like ceremonial reasons. It has an important halachic function. And then you get into the Rambam versus the other Rishonim of, do I dip every Ochel Shel Mitzvah? Is it really the condiment of the Seder? Or do I say no, that it's only by the Mara, but what should you be thinking about the Mara? Well, you can be thinking about the first Shita, which is Tapuach, or about Tit, or about Dam. This is what you should have in mind. That's what makes it experiential. It's not just the flavor. It's the idea attached to the Maisa. This is what Judaism is about. It elevates something from just simply ceremonial actions to some chachma. There's your mind is involved. That's what makes the Seder experience, for me, or any mitzvah, that's what makes it important, okay? That's charosis, in a nutshell.
Oh, you're in a rush. I had to ask about Ruach HaRa.